With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code RICHARD. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RICHARD. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The Volume.
You fall for these jokes, you don't.
Super Bowl championship. That should always be the expectation.
I ain't mad at you. Go ahead.
Welcome back to the Richard Sherman podcast. Mitchell, it's the offseason. Teams are getting better, and some teams are getting worse. What do you think?
Richard, Christmas comes early for a lot of fan bases. It's March, and it is the onset of free agency. Anyone and everyone's got a chance going into next season. The draft is around the corner. We just saw the NFL Combine, and the news hits early yesterday. Striking news. Let's start with the quarterbacks because this is the biggest news. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins signing a four-year, $180 million contract. Richard, how surprised were you to see this move?
I wasn't too surprised. Raheem Morris knows Kirk Cousins from their time with the Washington Commanders or the Redskins or the team, whatever they were at the time. He knows what kind of player he is. I know there's a lot of criticism out there for Kirk Cousins and, oh, he's not a winner. He's not this. He's not that. Kirk Cousins can flat out play football and he can execute, especially in the offense they're going to be running, which is again, the Kyle Shanahan, the Sean McVay, the Kevin O'Connell, the West Coast play action pass. He operates really well within that scheme. He's one of the best quarterbacks, especially within that system. Everybody talks about system quarterback, system this, system that. Well, in this particular system, it's a reason Kyle Shanahan wanted him. McVay was looking at him if he was going to become available, because in this system, he's a savant. And now people will say he hasn't won in the playoffs. Well, a lot of these quarterbacks aren't winning in the playoffs. So at the end of the day, none of them are winners, because the only people that have won Super Bowls in the last 5-6 years are Tom, Stafford, and Mahomes. So you can sit there and dance around. He's as good as they were going to get when it comes to a quarterback in this market. I think he's going to elevate those receivers. I think Kyle Pitts is finally going to be able to live up to his billing because of this quarterback. I think they're going to do great offensively. I think defensively, they're going to have some issues still. You know, they still got moves to make. But in that division, the NFC South, it's been, you know, nobody's wanted to win that division. Obviously, Tampa's won it the past couple years, and they just re-signed Baker and Mike Evans, which is huge. But I think this is going to be a huge move for Atlanta.
I love it. I mean, this to me separates them from the pack in the NFC North. Raheem Morris, when he took this job, admitted right away he wouldn't have the opportunity to take this job if this team did not have quarterback issues. And Desmond Ridder just frankly isn't the guy. Is he going to be a good backup? Yeah, maybe. But Kirk Cousins, at least he gets to show him what a pro looks like. 4 years gives this team a ton of runway. Kirk's got the game that isn't going to necessarily age. I know he's getting closer to 40, but he's going to elevate these guys around him, like you said, Rich. Kyle Pitts can be the Kyle Pitts they expected. You know, I mean, Drake London is going to have a lot of opportunities. They just signed Darnell Mooney. So,
and then you got Bijan Robinson in the fold as well. I mean, it's so many. There's so many weapons, but I think this kills Minnesota. You know, I would expect Justin Jefferson to want out at this point. You know, I think he really liked Kirk Cousins. He really liked his game. He really liked, you know, obviously he had incredible seasons with Kirk Cousins. And despite what everybody else in the outside world, you know, there are people that really don't think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Clearly, you're not watching this football, but he is. And now they're replacing him with Sam Darnold from San Francisco. And you know, obviously Sam hasn't been in great structure with Adam Gase and what he had to deal with in New York and then going to Carolina and what he dealt with there. But still, I don't know. I don't know what Sam Darnold is going to be in Minnesota. So if Justin Jefferson wants out soon, then you heard it here first.
Well, the other conversation piece here is, Richard, the Atlanta Falcons were firmly in the mix to go out and get Lamar Jackson last year, and they were going to pay him a little bit north of what they just ended up paying Kirk Cousins. I mean, you think there's regret in Atlanta for not pursuing Lamar Jackson a little bit more heavily last offseason? Because that number does not look nearly as daunting anymore.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Every team, all 32 teams in the NFL needed a slap because they didn't even attempt. And I hear the nonsense of, well, Baltimore is going to match any offer. When has that stopped anybody before? When has going through the motions stopped anybody before? Hey, I know they're going to do this. Hey, I know, you know, there's probably crazy trades when the Niners called for Trent Williams. I know they were probably like, Washington's never going to trade Trent Williams. When they called for Christian McCaffrey, I bet they were like, Carolina's never going to trade Christian McCaffrey. There's a lot of things that you just go through the motions. Well, why not? And when you go through, you find out. Now, if they had offered him a deal that Baltimore couldn't match, then they got their quarterback of the future, their MVP candidate, won MVP the year nobody wanted him, the year nobody tried to go get him. And it's crazy to hear that, and he's a first team all pro. It's crazy to hear all that and then teams be like, well, the reason we didn't do it is because we thought Baltimore was matching. That's the worst excuse I think I've ever heard in a situation like that, because you still try. You still try. You do your best and you say, hey, they matched it. We did everything we could do. But no team did everything they could do. No team even tried to do. If there were teams going out of their way, Mitchell, to say they weren't interested. And they should be ashamed of themselves. And I think like 95% of those teams didn't make the playoffs and they don't have a quarterback of the future. So you said, hey, we'll pass on an MVP. We'll pass on the MVP of this season. And we'll go with whoever we went with at quarterback. I mean, there's some teams, Mitchell, that got quarterbacks out there that I don't know if they would start for some of these college teams.
Richard, the other big QB signing, Pittsburgh Steelers go out and get their guy potentially and Russell Wilson on an absolute bargain, veteran minimum, $1.2 million. The Denver Broncos are left to pick up 37.8 of it. Unreal. That goes to show you what they thought of that relationship. Richard, what are your expectations of Russell in Pittsburgh?
Well, he's with Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin, as we all know and as he's shown, is a winner. They're going to have a winning season. Because Mike Tomlin doesn't do anything but have winning seasons. If they don't have a winning season this year, that'd be an aberration. So they're going to have a winning season. I think Russell is understanding that he's coming into a situation of an organization that does things the right way, that knows how to win football games, that knows they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball well. next year. They're going to play good defense, and Russell is going to be able to do what he does late in ball games. Kenny Pickett's a good receiver. They got Deontay Johnson, another good receiver. They're going to add, I think they got Firemuth, who's a good tight end. They got weapons, Najee Harris. They got guys that can make plays, but they're going to have to. I think Mike Tomlin is different than any coach that Russell Wilson has had. I mean, even Pete Carroll, I think he's more similar to Pete Carroll than he is, the coaches he's had, the other two coaches he's had. I'll just leave it at that. But I think this is a good fit, and I think it's a middle finger. It's Denver to Denver. What were you doing in the first place? What's crazy about this, Mitchell? What's insane about this whole ordeal is if they didn't sign him to an extension when they traded for him, Mitchell, his deal would just now be expiring. So the new deal, the new extension hadn't even started yet, and he's playing for a different team. You're paying him his extension money to play for somebody else. That's piss poor franchise management in general. You know, this isn't about Russell Wilson as much as it's about the Denver Broncos. You don't freaking send all those picks, send all those players, do everything, mortgage your future, to then turn around 2 years later and say, we got a new coach. Our bad. We're just going to, goodbye, Jerry Jeudy. Goodbye, Russell Wilson. Goodbye, Justin Simmons. Goodbye. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's a fire sale in Denver, and it just looks absolutely awful on that franchise, on the GM, on the ownership. Obviously, they got a new ownership, not the same ownership that signed Russell Wilson, but great for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be able to have a quarterback, a franchise quarterback making $1 million. Mitchell, gives you so much freedom everywhere else to build a team around him, to build up the offensive line, to build up the defense so that he has a real strong team around him. Now, that NFC North is no joke. Absolutely no joke. It's NFC North is one of the toughest. He walked out of a tough division in the AFC West. Well, it was supposed to be a tough division. Didn't end up being it because the Chargers aren't living up to what they were supposed to be. But now they may with Jim Harbaugh there. But you still have Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who Denver took to the wire in one game and beat them in another game. So I think this is going to be a great fit. But that AFC North with the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens is going to be an absolute bloodbath. But it's exciting football. It's great. It's a great space to be. Russell has played in the semi-cold in Seattle. So he played in the cold in Denver. So, you know, the weather shouldn't be an issue there. I look forward to seeing how it works out. He has good weapons. He has big play receivers that can, you know, move with him. He can build a rapport with. I think it's a great fit.
I'm with you, Rich. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have something that he hasn't had in a while. And, you know, like he's kind of butted heads with Nathaniel Hackett, butted heads with Sean Payton. Now him and Mike Tomlin get to test out this relationship. I think he's the perfect complement for Kenny Pickett. I mean, Kenny Pickett needs a little factory reset up. I don't think they want to punt on him just yet. Let's bring Russell in, see if he can kind of nurture Kenny back to life here. And Richard, to Russell's defense, I mean, he really hasn't had a running game since he left Seattle. Javonte Williams goes down with injury, you know, shortly after he gets to Denver, and they never seem to get on that right page. He's always needed that running back, and they got Najee Harris, they got Jaylen Warren in Pittsburgh. But back to Denver real quick before we leave this topic. You're absolutely right. They screwed this one up big time, and I think reality is, Rich, they got scared. I mean, this organization, after winning the Super Bowl, struggled for several seasons to find a quarterback. They went from Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, you know, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater. And the storyline around this franchise was always they've got everything else, but they don't have the quarterback. Then they go after Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't work out. So what do? They go all in on Russell Wilson, and it goes down as probably the worst trade in arguably sports history, Rich. We also got news as we're having this conversation. Patrick Queen just signs with the Steelers on a 3-year deal. Signing a quarterback for $1.2 million gives them this luxury to go out and get somebody like Patrick Queen. So there you go, Rich. Now they're adding other pieces to the pie. This Steelers team's looking pretty damn competitive. Let's go on to San Francisco. I know the big story here, they haven't made a ton of moves as of yet, but we're seeing the parting of a Niners legend, really, in Eric Armstead. I know he was one of your favorite teammates, Richard. He was a mountain of a man in the middle. Like, what goes into making this decision? What led to John Lynch ultimately deciding there's no other move other than to release you?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, it's just to let Eric go test the waters, maybe find, maybe it's not what you thought it was on the outside. Maybe the grass isn't greener and he comes back. Or, you know, I'm a big Eric Armstead fan. I think he has a lot of respect out there. Somebody's going to offer him big money. He's going to sign a big contract and he'll play somewhere else. But I would hope he returns to San Francisco. That's just me. But this is about both sides. You know, the San Francisco 49ers have a $28 million dead money cap hit for Eric Armstead. He's making $17 million this year. He feels like, you know, they asked him to take a pay cut. He was unwilling to do so, which is fine. You know, not everybody's trying to take a pay cut. I think I've been playing at a high level. I think my play speaks for itself. I work hard. I don't think I'm giving you pay cut effort, so I'm not going to take that kind of pay cut. And he's within his right to do so. They're within their right to do what they did. I think it was more mutually agreed upon. Hey, I'm going to go test the waters. If it's not what I thought it was, then we'll have a conversation. I don't think the door is closed on San Francisco by any means. If you have a void like that in the middle, they're not going to just leave that empty, because some people would have thought, hey, they're just going to sign Javon Kinlaw and kind of insert him into that spot. He may not be what Eric is to this team, but he'll get the job done. He did come on late and in the playoffs played really good football. So there is something there, but they were unwilling to match the offer that Robert Saleh and the Jets gave to Javon Kinlaw. So now he's going to New York and he's going to be playing for the New York Jets. But I do not think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are out here without a plan. Like, they're going to let Eric Armstead walk and just go into the season with, hey, we're going to just figure it out. We're going to put a young guy in there and we're going to see what we can do. No. They got their eyes on somebody. They're having conversations. I guarantee they have a backup plan right now in hand. And I would expect that deal to come out within the next couple of days, if that is what it is. And that's just my assumption. That's my prediction, that they're not just going out there and saying, hey, we're going to lose Eric and let's just see how it goes. Like, they're not that kind of team. John Lynch, if he's nothing else, he's aggressive, and he's aggressive to get players in. They have cap space. They're creating more cap space. They just converted Fred's money to signing bonus to create even more cap space. Obviously, they're preparing to sign Brandon Ayuk to a nice deal, but I don't expect them to go into the season with that hole in the middle of Eric Armstead not being there and just say, hey, we're going to go with the guys we got and we're good with it. I think they're going to add some guys, some pieces to the pie. I'm not sure which way they will go, but I'm sure it'll come up in the next couple of days.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy. so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the promo code Sherman for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code Sherman for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Yeah, it's interesting, Richard, because last offseason they were super aggressive and everyone thought, oh man, they've already got a ton of good pieces in place, and they go out and grab Javon Hargrave and they paid a lot of money for him. And now that contract is widely regarded as one of the worst signed last offseason. You couple that with the mistakes that were made with Trey Lance, and you're wondering, Richard, my one question as an outsider looking into this organization, are the mistakes that they've been able to get over, you know, starting to catch up with them a little bit? This Arik Armstead release scares me from an outsider looking in. Like, what's the panic meter you're looking at in San Francisco right now?
If 10 is a fire sale and everything, all is lost, and we're not going to make it in the playoffs, and one is we're fine, I'd probably say it's at a 4. You know, it's nothing crazy. It's not the super panic you're concerned, because, you know, anytime you lose a foundational piece, and Arik Armstead has been a foundational piece of this team for a long time, it starts to feel like, hey, what are we doing? It's like when you're renovating your house and they start tearing out the floor and you're like, wait a minute, was this? I'm so used to having that carpet there now. I mean, I know we're going to put hardwood there, but the hardwood is not there. And right now my house looks like a disaster. And it's like, calm down. Like, they're going to put the wood floors in. They're going to polish it. It's going to be fine. But still, I'm so used to my house being a certain way. I'm so used to seeing Arik Armstead there. I'm so used to knowing he's going to be there, knowing his production, knowing the player, the person he is. He's been man of the year so many times. He's been such a critical part of this organization over this stretch, and this incredible stretch of going to NFC championships and going to Super Bowls, that it's going to cause ripples. But I think you got to trust that with every mistake, there's been a deal or a move that has overcome it. You know, it's been, hey, Trey Lance, man, what the heck was that? Like, they didn't get it right and they have to hire sale. But then here comes Brock Purdy. Then you're like, hey man, what's going on with Javon Hargrave? But then you got Christian McCaffrey for peanuts. And so you start to see, like, you know, everything isn't going to be perfect, but the reason they're able to overcome is because the monumental things that they've done elsewhere, the deals that they've done that have succeeded. Christian McCaffrey, they don't go to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. He was offensive player of the year last year. You know, that's nothing to sniff at. And so I do trust this organization. I trust this front office to get things right. It's still a big loss. You know, I hope Arik goes and gets as much money as he can, because that's, you know, I'm all for the players getting as much money as you can. That's why everybody screams loyalty. Mitchell, everybody screams loyalty. Loyal. What? These guys have no loyalty. You saw what Tiki Barber said. Loyalty. Right. So, Saquon, you're not loyal. Like, what are we talking about? A team choose to not sign a guy. Teams choose to cut guys. Yeah, Aaron Jones, they signed Josh Jacobs and said, Aaron Jones, all right. Hey, where's the loyalty? There's no loyalty in this game. There's no loyalty to anybody. And fans are sitting here acting like they're loyal to you. They're not loyal to you either. Like, you go to these games, these ticket prices increase every year. Oh, you got season tickets? You're a loyal season ticket holder. We're going to increase that price by $2,000. Keep being loyal. Like, what are you talking about? There's no loyalty from these teams. They're not loyal to these players. That's why when the player's not playing up to a certain standard, even if he's playing a Pro Bowl standard, if he's not playing the all-pro standard that he was, they get rid of him. Bobby Wagner in Seattle should never leave Seattle. They made the mistake the first time. You should never leave it again. And John Snyder knows that. We've had this conversation. It's ridiculous that you're not signing it. He's not asking for a ton of money. Yeah, I'm not saying, hey, give him $15 million, pay him like a top linebacker, but you don't let him leave the building again. You owe him that. You owe him that. You don't owe him a ton of money, but you owe him the right of first refusal. You owe him the right to say, I don't want to stay for that. Like, you got to offer him something to say, he doesn't want to stay for that. I can't stay for that. They're offering me something better. but he probably would stay for it. And then you lose Jordan Brooks to Miami for $30 million. He got good for him. And now everybody thought since you got Mike McDonald, you're going to automatically get Patrick Queen. That's over. He's in Pittsburgh, but you're not going to sign Bobby Wagner. Like, I don't understand how a franchise has legendary players. Bobby Wagner has more all pros than just about any linebacker in the history of the game outside of Ray Lewis, I believe. And you can guess if he's not second, he's third, you know, and that's including Willis and Bowman. You know, those guys are tremendous linebackers, legendary linebackers. I mean, Luke Kuechly is up there, but Luke Kuechly didn't play as long as Bobby's played. So, he, you know, it's just a numbers game in terms of that. But you got a guy like that. And people say loyalty. They say loyalty, but you only hear the loyalty on the franchise's behalf. But when it's time to be loyal to a player, like you got to be loyal to a Bobby Wagner, then people turn a blind eye to it. They're like, well, I don't know if he's the player he used to be. Well, I'm not asking you. He just came off a Pro Bowl season, a career high in tackles. Like, I hear what you're saying, but apparently Pro Bowl level isn't good enough now. Mitchell, you playing at a Pro Bowl level, they say, well, you're not the player you used to be, because he was outside of this world talent. Like, you don't appreciate how great he was, and now he looks like, man, well, he's just a Pro Bowler now. When he left, you would have been hoping for a Pro Bowl linebacker. And so there's stuff like that it just grinds my gears right now, where people are asking loyalty from these players. Hey, take less money and stay with this team who will cut you if you hurt your knee. Hey, take less money and go here when this team, soon as you're not as quick as you used to be, soon as your GPS says 17 instead of 18, they're going to cut you. Like, there isn't loyalty, and it doesn't exist for players, and players don't owe it to these organizations. And the fans only owe it because they're from these cities. So they're from these states. So you feel loyalty because this is home. These aren't home. This isn't home for these guys. This isn't where they're from. And if it is where they're from, then they probably have a little bit more loyalty to it because they're loyal to where they're from. But stop it. Stop asking these players for loyalty and not asking it from these organizations, because soon as these organizations cut these players, they're showing no loyalty.
Wow. Richard, you're talking like you've had some experience in this space,
Mitchell,
in the past, my friend.
I'm just tired of hearing that. It's ridiculous.
I love the passion, my man. I mean, you're right. No fault to the fans, right? I mean, the fans, they're fans of the teams, right? They're fans of the players. I know the Seahawks fan base has come back around to you as well after
right. It's not their fault, but I'm just trying to explain to them, like if these organizations were loyal to the fans and they were like, hey, we're letting the whole stadium in for free, or we're taking a discount on tickets in the playoffs, like, then I'd be like, oh man, they show real love to the fans. Like, that's crazy. Like, they're taking money out of their pockets and pretty much giving it to the fans. But they don't show that kind of love to the fans. And the fans are loyal to these logos, which is fine. This is who you grow up watching. I appreciate that. Where the teams, the players are happy to give you the show. Like, man, I love these fans. Man, you give me a lot of love, I give you love back. But we go out there and put our bodies on the line and give you the show. Yay, we're helping your team win. Bang, we're doing it. Understand, players don't get hurt on purpose. They don't miss tackles on purpose. They don't throw interceptions on purpose. They don't play bad on purpose. I promise you, they're trying to play good. And so I just wish it went both ways, you know. And there are great fans out there that are loyal regardless. You don't play well, they're still like, hey, you got them. Like, hey, keep your head up, you're going to be great. There's great fans like that. It's just some of these guys are so ridiculous. You're like, Bobby Wagner's washed. What? Oh, what is he doing at the Pro Bowl this year? So if Pro Bowl is washed, then what is the rest of the league that's not at the Pro Bowl? Like, what is everybody else? If a Pro Bowler is considered washed, then what is the rest of the league? I don't understand. And that's where I start to, like, plead, like, can you make it make sense? It doesn't. Stop saying stuff about these players that are really good. Just say, hey, man, he used to be faster. That's fine, because that's true. But saying somebody's washed is an overused phrase that doesn't even apply to the things they're saying. If a guy makes it to the NFL, guess what? He's the 1%. He's the 1% of the 1%. Like, you can say whatever you want. He's washed. He's an elite athlete. He's a world-class talent, and he made it to the National Football League. He's the best of the best. So no matter what, he's the best of the best, and he's been one of the best of the best, and he made it all the way to the end. Give him the respect.
Richard, I love the passion. Bobby Wagner, obviously, you said it already. This is his second time going through these motions. The Seahawks realized they made a mistake the first time and brought him back, and now here they are again, granted under a new regime this time. They also, in doing so, released Quandre Diggs, who's been a stalwart in the middle of that defense, and Jamal Adams, who's had a little bit of an up-and-down tenure there. But Richard, there's a lot of movement in Seattle. And sure, they've got the eighth most cap space in football, right around $45, $46 million as we record this. And I'm sure a big move will be to come. But what direction do you see them taking this? Because there's a lot more questions than there are answers right now.
Yeah, I really can't. They have to shore up this offensive line, and they just lost Damian Lewis. That's a concern. Obviously, they have a great receiving core. They restructured Tyler Lockett, which is great, you know, creates more cap space, gives him longevity. That's how you treat legendary players. You talk to them. Hey, you make a lot of money right now. We don't think, hey, it's getting tough. It's getting tough to move past. We don't want to cut you. What can we do to make this work? That's how you talk to them. And then guess what? You'll have those conversations and they can say, hey, I'm good with restructuring and let's make this work because I want to be here. And that's what Tyler did. But you got to give them the right to do that. I think they got to find, obviously they got to find another guard now with Damian Lewis gone, but they got the interior of that offensive line has to be a point of concern right now, but it's something they have to address in free agency. It's something they have to address in the draft. So I'm not sure what they're doing because obviously all the big names fly off first. And there's a ton of offensive linemen on the market right now, a ton of guys, really talented guys that have gotten released. So I think that's the direction they'll go. They extended or re-signed Leonard Williams, 3-year, $64 million, which is a reasonable deal. I think they're going to need to – Jaron Reed is a big factor in that offense. I mean, that defensive line had a great season last year. I think they're going to have to do something with his contract. They got a lot of talent on defense. Julian Love, I think there is somebody they want to keep around. I thought they would go after Patrick Queen. I thought if they didn't, I thought if they let Bobby go, then Jordan Brooks was somebody they had to bring back. All those things seem like they're out of the window, so I have no idea what they're doing at linebacker. I'd be interested to hear their plan because you're saying you don't want to sign the Pro Bowler back. You didn't sign Jordan Brooks back. You didn't get Patrick Queen, who's familiar with Mike McDonald's system. You didn't get Geno Stone, who's familiar with their system. You know, the guys that played for this guy, I thought he would be like, hey, these are plug and play guys. I can get them. I need them to at least be able to have some kind of continuity in this defense. They have great corners. I think Tariq Woolen is going to heal up. His shoulder is going to bounce back this year. He did great in coverage. Witherspoon looks like an absolute star in this league. Offensively, I think, you know, JSN is going to be fine. DK is going to be even better this year. He's been really consistent, been fantastic in this league. Your boy K9 has been great. But again, that offensive line is where it's going to have to start. Boye Mafe had a great kind of come out year last year, really putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He was amongst the league leaders in quarterback pressures and sacks and forced fumbles, et cetera. But I think that offensive line, if you can protect Virginia and give him time, he can dice. He can deal. He can deal, and he showed that in his Pro Bowl season. But nobody can deal when you give him a second and a half to pass the ball. Nobody can deal when, hey, we've scored 35 points in this game against Dallas. Then the most critical play of the game, we're just going to let their best player runs scot-free at the quarterback. Like, who can deal like that? So hopefully they fix the offensive line, but that would be where I would start.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They do have a lot of weapons offensively. We shall see. They are without now. As we record this, Drew Locke goes to the New York Football Giants, so they're going to be in the hunt for a backup QB as well. Richard, we're starting to see running backs get paid. We saw Josh Jacobs go off the board. We just saw King Derrick Henry go off the board. Saquon Barkley got thrown a bag. Obviously Aaron Jones goes off the board quick after being released. Let's start with the Packers. This kind of scares me, being an NFC North fan. My Detroit Lions have to play this team twice a year. They go aggressive this free agency period, bringing Josh Jacobs. We got folks in the Green Bay fan base freaking out, saying, oh my gosh, we got Josh Jacobs, we got Aaron Jones. 2 hours later, they release Aaron Jones. Richard, how big of an upgrade is Josh Jacobs to this Packers offense?
I don't think it's an upgrade at all, honestly, because Aaron Jones is playing outstanding. Like, this is no slight to Josh Jacobs because he's phenomenal. He's one of the best running backs in the National Football League. But again, within this scheme, Aaron Jones was fantastic in those playoffs against Dallas, against San Francisco. I mean, what more could you expect him to do? You know, he's catching the ball out of the backfield. He's running the ball really well. He got banged up. Yeah, that's true. He got banged up parts of the season. He, you know, maybe in that regard, Josh Jacobs is probably a little more durable. But again, Aaron Jones wasn't making a ton of money. He's not making a ton of money, and you're not paying a quarterback right now. I mean, unless you're preparing to pay the quarterback a ton of money. But you're not paying receivers a ton of money. You're not paying Jair Alexander $25 million. So I'm trying to figure out what you're doing. You're paying Xavier McKinney $17 million a year, but you don't want to save $6, $7 million. Aaron Jones signed with Minnesota for $7 million. You don't have that for him? A guy who is proven in your system, he's a guy, unless there's something internally that I don't know, I don't understand it. Because he seems like a guy who does things the right way, and they would complement each other fine. I'm sure Josh Jacobs wouldn't want to come out the game, but you see what Aaron Jones can do. So it's never too much, never too much, never too much, never too much. Mitchell, it's never too much. So you keep both, but instead you give him to a division rival.
I don't want to toot the Detroit Lions horn too much here, Rich, because you guys know I'm a big fan of them, but What Brad Holmes did last offseason proves right now is to be a sheer masterclass. He goes to Chicago, plucks away a division foe, David Montgomery, pays him $6 million a year. You know, then they go and draft Jahmyr Gibbs, a widely criticized draft pick early in the draft, and they give up on DeAndre Swift. Now we see DeAndre Swift go to the Chicago Bears and get paid $8 million a year. DeAndre Swift's a good running back, don't get me wrong. But David Montgomery is the hammer and the nail. He's a perfect complement in this offense, and you get him for $2 million cheaper than the guy he replaced. Josh Jacobs costs twice as much as that man. Richard, you feel bad for the running backs. They don't get paid as much as they deserve. That's objectively, they deserve a hell of a lot more for the value they bring to this game. But being a GM, you got to be crafty in this spot. And I'm with you. Josh Jacobs scares me. But if you look at it from a numbers perspective, you kind of got to scratch your head a little bit. Like you said, you had somebody in house that's doing the same job in Aaron Jones. We shall see.
We shall see. Because the yardage numbers, at least the production, is there for Aaron Jones, especially in the playoffs. I mean, we just saw Derrick Henry get $8 million a year. Yep. King Henry, $8 million. And he's going to Baltimore. That's a great fit. That's a, oh my God, that may be the piece they need to get him over the top. But again, $8 million? Like, I don't understand, because every other position, the number's gone up. Hey, like you were saying earlier before we got on camera, the guards are making $20 million now. There are guards making $20 million. Tackles making almost 30. Running backs, yep, is at a decent, I can't call it Derrick Henry decent, a really good running back is at 8. The best running back, I guess, one of the best running backs is at 12. They were at 12 6 years ago, Mitchell. It has not changed. And that's what I don't understand. And I don't know if it'll ever change. I don't know if it'll ever go above this. I think they're at their cap. But as the salary cap keeps increasing, the running back stays the same or goes down. It's sad. It's really sad.
It is. And the Eagles, they go heavy with Saquon. And this number looks huge for a running back. 3 years, $37.75 million. Saquon's a big name, and he just swapped in the division. I mean, this is big news that can't be overlooked. What value does he bring to the Eagles? Does this push them back to the promised land on the brink of the Super Bowl? Are they still kind of that same team that you saw last year, Rich?
I don't know because the team we saw last year started, what, 10-0?
Like something like that.
Something, yeah, like that. Like they started 10-0. So, I'm not sitting here downplaying the team we saw last year. They collapsed down a stretch. But for all intents and purposes, early on, they looked fine. And DeAndre Swift looked good. And he looked like a good fit in his scheme. And then it all fell apart. The defense fell apart. The running game fell apart. Jalen Hurts got a little banged up. The pass game suffered. A.J. Brown all of a sudden was injured and didn't play. So does bringing in Saquon Barkley cure the pass defense that was 31st in the league? I don't know. I don't think so. Like, does Vic Fangio do it? Probably. But I think their problems weren't the running back. And like we talked about, they brought in DeAndre Swift, and I think he was only making like $6 million last year. So you're paying double. Are they going to get double the production out of Saquon Barkley? I don't know. You know, Saquon is a factor in the pass game. He's a factor in the run game. He's a great player. He's a big name. I don't know if this does everything this team needs him to do, but we'll see.
Their division rival, the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones came out hot leading into this offseason saying the Cowboys were going to be making a lot of noise. Richard, they sure have. They lost Tony Pollard in free agency and signed absolutely no one. No, what in the world is going on down in Dallas?
Mitchell, I don't know. I can't call it. They got great players. They have a great quarterback who the fans want to get rid of. They have a great receiver. They have a really good defense. New coordinator. But I just don't know, Mitchell. I don't think Tony Pollard is that huge of a loss. I think they feel like, you know, Rico Dow double is going to be fine. I think they think they can draft and they'll be fine. Running back is one of those positions we're talking about that is undervalued because they feel like there's a lot of guys that can do it. So I don't feel like they feel like they're losing a ton there, but they need to make a move. When you say you're all in, then we expect Derrick Henry to be signed to the Dallas Cowboys. We expect, you know, you to grab one of these D linemen, you know, a Leonard Floyd, a Chase Young, a somebody, you know, a name that you're like, oh, okay, Dallas is taking it serious this year. One of these corners, you know, something where you're like, oh, okay, you're making a big meet. Another number one receiver. If you had gone after, you know, Mike Evans or somebody, or tried, we heard whispers of you trying to approach Mike Evans about a deal. Even if you didn't get the guy, and we heard the rumors like, oh, okay, Dallas is really all in. They're going after it. But you're not hearing anything. You're not hearing them going after receivers. You're not hearing them going after running backs. You're not hearing them, hey, they were in on Josh Jacobs, or man, they were trying to get Saquon, or hey, man, Leonard Floyd, or Chase Young, and they're going after him. Like, you haven't heard that. So it just feels like, again, a bunch of fluff from Jerry, a bunch of hot air with no substance, because the substance would be the signings. You haven't seen any.
A couple other big names that went through the cycle this offseason, Rich. Baker Mayfield. And we talked about it early on in the season last year. You said this might be a guy that finally found a home and elevated the Tampa Bay Bucs. Sure enough, they were in the divisional round, got knocked off by my Detroit Lions. But Baker gets rewarded 3 years, $100 million, half of which is guaranteed. Richard, were you surprised by this? What were your thoughts by this signing?
Mitchell, I was happy. I'm happy, Mitchell. I like a redemption story, Mitchell. I think America, I think any good human being with a kind heart loves a redemption story. Hey, he went through the bumps and bruises, admit your mistakes, you get humbled, Mitchell, and you rise from the ashes like a phoenix, Mitchell. And he's in a situation where he rose like a phoenix for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They gave him his money, his respect, his acclaim. You're a number one pick. You played really good football. We're going to get your best weapon back in Mike Evans, and we're going to show him a tremendous amount of respect because of what he's done for this franchise. Welcome home, Baker Mayfield. Good for you. That's a story I can get on board with, Mitchell.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And they bring back Mike Evans. The question comes down in Tampa. Was last year the ceiling with this team? I mean, this team's getting older. You know, Baker's in his prime firmly. They're going to have to make some moves in order to get to that next level of constantly owning the NFC South, because it is the division that could be owned by the Tampa Bay Bucs if they get hot here. Richard, there was a cap casualty that came with these signings, and he went to my Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions saw an opportunity and acquired Carlton Davis. I know he was a former teammate of yours when you were down in Tampa, and I called you immediately. I said, Richard, what do we got coming to Detroit here? Because Lord knows we need some secondary help. What are your thoughts on Carlton Davis going to the Detroit Lions?
Carlton Davis can play, flat out. Just straight up, Mitchell, he can play. Yeah. He can play corner. He's a man-to-man guy. He can play any other scheme, you know, and all that. But his specialty, his go-to is man-to-man. He's a press corner. He's used to being in there, scrapping every play in and play out. You know, I think it's an upgrade for you guys. Obviously, you had the injuries with E-Man and guys going out early. You had to go all the way down to a practice squad guy getting elevated at the corner position. And that's tough to do in an NFC championship game and the playoffs and stuff to hide. I think he held up very well. But I think this is a definite upgrade. Obviously, signing E-Man back is huge. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy for him. Can't wait to see him back on the field. But I think this is a great deal for Detroit. I'm looking forward to seeing what Detroit does, because they are built the right way. They're going to get more pass rushers. They're good at the corner now, and that's a big piece, especially in that division. And then with Minnesota losing Kirk, oh, my God. That's, people don't understand how huge that is. Wait till you see how huge that is. Oh, you thought system quarterback? You thought anybody can do it? Wait till you see. But then, you know, obviously Green Bay is loving what they have in Jordan Love and what he's been able to do. So expect him to get the extension. But your boy Jared Goff has earned his money, Mitchell. He's earned his money. We talked about this during the playoffs last year. I said if he gets them where they need to be, and he got them to the NFC Championship, and they had a chance. They had a great chance. You know, they didn't lose it because of him. He's going to get a deal comparable to what, you know, I would guess $50 million, what Kirk got, you know, close to $50 million, especially with the cap going up the way it is. This team has some runway, has some young receivers, has some young guys. They're not paying a ton of guys. So I would expect him to get his money, and deservedly so. Another redemption swan song for Jared Goff, proving the haters wrong, you know, got over the hump, got his revenge game against the Rams in Detroit. You know, got Detroit their first playoff win in a very long time. Like, you got to appreciate that. I think he's, you know, obviously he's their best quarterback since Stafford, but that's not saying anything because they just swapped Stafford and whatever. But for them to go this long and have Stafford for so long and be such a great quarterback and not get a win and have Jared Goff get them to an NFC Championship game, you know, I think he's got a lot of love in Detroit, a lot of respect and a lot of regard, and he's going to rightfully get paid. Like you said, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, that offensive line is going to have to, that's going to cost you later, Mitchell. Yeah, they play fantastic. No question. But they're going to, Penei Sewell is going to cost you, Mitchell. He's going to be maybe the first $30 million tackle.
Oh, there's no doubt. And there's a lot of like unsettled anxiousness around Detroit right now. We entered the offseason with, you know, seventh most cap space in football. Everyone's expecting us to make some noise, sign, you know, go after Christian Wilkins, or grab Danielle Hunter or something like that. But Brad Holmes is playing a different game. He's playing the long game. And like you said, we got a lot of people to pay. And that's a good problem to have when you have Amon-Ra for an extension, when you need to take care of Jared Goff. You're going to have to make Penei Sewell the highest paid tackle in football at some point. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, the list goes on and on and on. When you draft well, this is a problem you face as a franchise. The Lions are taking a very conservative approach. You know, they're signing guys like Marcus Davenport. They're getting guys like Carlton Davis on expiring deals, a prove it type deal that if they can come in and make some noise, can push this team over the edge. You know, much like the signings of E-Man and CJ Gardner-Johnson. We shall see with the Lions. Richard, I too am fired up. I think this team is only going to get better. They're going to grow. And this is just the beginning. There's still some big names out. I think they're waiting on Khalil Mack, and I think they're waiting on Joey Bosa. I think they're waiting to see what the Chargers do, and then I think they go and get a two-year deal with somebody like that. That's my gut instinct.
Don't be surprised if Joey Bosa takes a pay cut and goes to San Francisco, Mitchell. I would not be surprised. Oh, anything. Yeah. I don't know anything, Mitchell, but do not be surprised by that. He loves playing with his younger brother, and that would be be something.
Mitchell. That might be the Eric Armstead replacement right there.
Be something, but there were a lot of great moves, and there's still a lot of great moves to be made. Jerry Jeudy and Jameis Winston going to the Browns. The Commanders getting Austin Ekeler, Shaq Barrett to the Dolphins, to, you know, a great move. Gabe Davis to the Jaguars, Gus Edwards to the Chargers. Colby Perkinson leaving the Seahawks, going to the Rams. Christian Wilkins getting big money with the Raiders. They got Gardner Minshew at the quarterback spot, so I don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields, but it's been fun. It's been fun.
We're not leaving just yet. We got to talk Justin Fields before we go, because Richard, if there's any way for the Chicago Bears to fumble this offseason, they have everything gift wrapped for them that they could possibly want. You want the first overall pick? Here you go. You want another top 10 pick? Here you go. You want a bunch of cap space? There you go. One caveat, they got to figure out what to do with who's in-house, and that's Justin Fields. Did they wait too long, Rich? Because it seems like there only might be one or two teams that would have any interest in Justin Fields, and one of those teams is in your own division, and the Vikings. I can't imagine you're trading them there. Richard, have the Bears screwed this up?
It may be too late to apologize. I'm saying too late. Mitchell, it's too late, because they're going to have to trade him for a fourth or fifth round pick. They're not going to get the second round pick they're looking for, or they're just going to have to eat it and get Caleb Williams. They're going to have to eat it and get Caleb Williams and keep Justin Fields as his backup. Like, they're almost to that point where they're going to have to do that, because your options are keep him trade him probably to Seattle as a backup to Geno, as a succession plan to Geno. They let him sit behind Geno, sit behind a veteran for a while. I could see that potentially happening. I could see Minnesota potentially, you know, but they would have to, they would make Minnesota pay. You know, they make Minnesota give at least a third. Everybody else would probably be good with a fifth. I don't see them really doing that. So, Mitchell, I like, what options do you have? I mean, maybe New Orleans, you know, do you really think Derek Carr is the answer? Do you, you want a guy to back him up? And, you know, Jameis Winston is gone now. Like, do you make that move to give yourself something for the future? Maybe, you know, outside of that, Mitchell, where would you send him? Pittsburgh? Hey, Pittsburgh, y'all want him to back up? Hey, you done with Kenny Pickett? Like, back up Russell for a year or two and then succeed? I don't know, Mitchell, but you're right. They've lost their leverage, and they're likely going to have to just keep him or trade him for peanuts. That's how it goes.
You hate to see it, Rich, especially in your own division. You hate to see it. Richard, that concludes our early free agency little wrap-up here. It's been a minute since we've seen you guys. Richard, I will let you sign us off.
Well, I know it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two. But I appreciate you sticking with us in the offseason. Free agency preview. We'll be back for the draft, or likely with a guest or something. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate it. See you next time.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.